inspirations which you can use for your own spiritual journey. I can imagine for those of you who are having the first contact with the devotees of Krishna, that you are trying to orient yourself and understand a little bit what is really Krishna consciousness all about. To put it very briefly, it's a path of self-realization and of God-realization. A path means you start somewhere and you arrive somewhere. So, Krishna consciousness is you start in the material world and you arrive in the kingdom of God. That's the idea. I would encourage all of you to listen very carefully what I have to present, with the idea to maybe see if there's something which you could use in your own life. Yes. I personally believe that really if one of the most fundamental principles of spiritual life is the idea of the two dogs in our hearts. It's an idea that in each one of our hearts there are two sides. We have a material side which feels very much attracted to ordinary material life, like our parents and grandparents and, you know, all people do in this world. But then we have also a spiritual side which feels dissatisfied and, let us say, unfulfilled with material life. Sometimes it happens that these two sides are fighting with each other. I have seen this with great materialists who are very wealthy, that they often sit in on their piles of money and think, maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe I've forgotten that I'm a soul, actually, and that material things don't give me any real satisfaction. I have one friend who left this world in August. His name was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He was an interesting person. He was a professor of psychology, a Hare Krishna member, and a chief of an African tribe. A very interesting mixture. Often he was in television, and he wrote 24 books. And before he left this world, he said to me, "Sachinandan Swami, in our hearts there are two dogs. They are fighting. Which one of the dogs will win? I must admit to you that I have seen many times two dogs fighting in India on Indian streets. The last time I saw it, it was so wild and violent. But who would win? I'm not an expert in dog fights. I didn't know. So now my friend was asking me and saying to me, in our hearts are two dogs. They are fighting. Who will win? I also didn't know the answer. And he smiled at me and he said, it's very simple. That dog whom you give food, he will win. I believe you understand what he wanted to say. We have these two sides in us, a spiritual and a material. And that side which we nourish and which we feed and which we supply with food, that will be the dominant or the, how is the English word, predominant side in us. If you allow me, I would give myself as an example. I was meant to become a manager in this world. But I became a monk. If I would have gone to management schools, and which if I would have chanted in the morning, money, 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 and in the noontime, novats, 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 and in the evening, saldo, 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 then I would have become a manager maybe. But I choose to chant Hare Krishna. And as a result, I'm now sitting before you as a monk and in the monk's dress and not in a manager's dress. I have chosen for the last 34 or 5 years to nourish my spiritual side, or as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, the spiritual dog in my heart. So I believe this is a very important understanding. We have the possibility to choose in which way our lives will develop, and we can nourish these sides and become strong in what we have chosen. Mm-hmm. I would like to tell you this evening a very, very deep and mysterious story which will illustrate a little bit what I mean. And then I will give you some practical spiritual exercises which could help you to nourish your spiritual side. My story is a very moving story about a princess. As you will kindly listen to the story, you might feel the princess is me, and you are right when you feel like that. It is said that the soul is prakriti, or it's an energy. And in Indian philosophy, energies are considered to be female, Shakti. yes, Shakti. Mm-hmm. So I will have to dress now like a storyteller. I'm now the Indian storyteller. I know it looks a little... Well, I put it here, huh? Once there was a princess who celebrated her 18th birthday. She had invited all the poets of the country because she wanted to recite her own poetry on her 18th birthday. My dear people of Zadar, it was a very good birthday celebration. There was dance, there was song, there was food, and there was Lubov. Yes, on the last dance, the princess actually danced with the prince of the neighboring country. And they felt between them the excitement of the first love. When the princess went finally to bed after a long birthday, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. She was so happy. Her poesy was appreciated. And she could only think of the prince. As she slowly trailed off into sleep, she heard a voice. Let me free! Please, let me free! Who was calling? Quickly she jumped out of bed and looked under her bed because the voice had sounded so close. Was there a strange man in her in a bedroom? No one was under the bed and also no one was behind the curtains. Again the voice, let me free! Finally, let me free! She asked, who are you? The answer came back, I am yourself. Glupost. I am myself. And the voice came back very strong and very sharp. Glupost, what you think is yourself is one of your many masks. Do you know that the word person comes from the Latin word persona, which means the mask which an actor would wear. Let me free! It was very loud. She became confused. The voice was stronger. Let me free. I will not give you peace until you let me free. She ran out of the palace. She ran through the forest. The voice began to haunt her. And finally she fell and fainted on the ground. Then she fell asleep. While she was sleeping, she had a very amazing dream. Please listen to the dream very attentively, because I will not interpret the dream for you. You have to do it yourself. She saw something which looked like a tower. But up on the top of the tower, there was a door and two windows. As she looked on that building, it became transparent. And she saw inside a staircase which looked like a spine. And now the whole building looked like a body. The door up there was the mouth, and the two windows, they looked like the eyes. And at the bottom of this building, there was a person which was very bright. And the person said like this: and slowly that person looked in her direction. And when that person looked into her eyes, the person called, "Let me free!" Oh. Yes, it was so loud. It was so loud that she woke up. She didn't fully understand. What was this voice? Who was that person? The person who had said, "I am yourself." At this moment, she saw in the forest some movement. And then she saw that a person who looked like a hermit came towards her. At first she was afraid. It was a man she didn't know. But the man didn't care about her fear and just asked, "Have you heard the call?" She said, "Yes, but what is all this about?" Oh, the hermit smiled. "You will know soon. Come with me." And the hermit led her to a lake. "Princess, look into the water and answer a question." Princess was a little afraid, but she still looked into the water. She expected to see her beautiful face. But instead of seeing her beautiful face, she saw an ugly, a very ugly face. A very arrogant face. And for the first time, she understood what a mask is. Remember, the voice had said, "What you think is yourself is only one of your many masks." The saint asked her, "Do you want to be that? Princess, do you want to be that face?" She said, "No! The saint is something which I will try to do for you. With he just took his hand into the water. And took out this face. Shup, and made like this. Look again. She again saw into her face and into her reflection. And this time it was, you know, a different face. The face of a beautiful woman who thinks she can control all the Mushkatskis. Marilyn Monroe face. Huh? Do you want to be that? No. And again the saint took out that face for her and put it to the side. On that day they took 32 and a half faces out of the water. A half face because she didn't want to let it go. She felt this is a good face. So they stopped. She was attached to that mask. So they stopped and continued the next day. My dear audience, they did this for half a year. Finally, the princess felt very light. She felt like a person approaching the exalted state of self-realization where the masks are gone. And she felt something like a little pride coming up. I'm very advanced. So, on that evening, the saint came to her and said, "Tomorrow will be your most difficult day." She thought, "What? I'm almost self-realized. I feel very good." Tomorrow is a most difficult day for you. When the princess went to sleep in her little leaf hut, which they had made for her, she had a most important dream. Again, I would like to request you to listen very carefully. It's very important that you understand this dream. When she saw again that building which you know, the building which looked like a body, and this time she saw that luminous personality, which looks so beautiful, quite up the stairs. There were only maybe two more stairs left until she would come to the door where she could go into freedom. The princess looked at the person. And the person again looked at her. And again it said, "Let me free." "Yes, yes," she said. "You're almost free. No problem." But the person looked to at her with tears in her eyes. Tomorrow is your most difficult test. Gelopast. She woke up. The saint had waited for her and said, come with me now to the lake. But I beg you, please, today is the day of your test. The test is so difficult that I will not ask you, do you want to be that? You know, she, the saint had always asked her, do you want to be that face? Huh? No, today I will ask you, who are you? Only if you give the answer correctly, you will be free. Otherwise, we have to start all over again, and I think you will not have the energy. Hare Krishna. So, she looked into her. They came to the place. You must see, it was like a rock, huh? And then there was the lake. So she looked into the lake. And she saw a very nice face. And she thought, well, what is all about this difficult test? But then the water started to move. Almost like a curtain starts to move. Can you maybe move this white curtain for us? So that we get the idea. The water moved and moved more and more like this. No. You will see, you will see. We will make it for you.
More.
Yes. All of a sudden she saw, thank you very much, a very, very heavy face. With eyes which looked like the eyes of Sauron. You know, demoniac eyes. And the eyes had a magic to themselves. The eyes were flickering at her. And then she saw from these eyes many faces coming, more and more faces. Some of the faces she could recognize. Other faces she thought, these were maybe scenes from my past life. Face after face came and stared at her. She started to lose her consciousness. She started to fall into the lake. Then she heard the voice of the saint. Princess, keep your consciousness. Who are you? When this question came into her mind, she began to hear a little voice. It was very small in the beginning. I am a servant of Krishna. At that moment where she said this, I am a servant of Krishna, the whole lake seemed to explode with that face. But maybe it was her own tears which made her face so wet, not the water of the lake. The saint said, bravo, bravo. Very nice. Now you can wonder about the world. And you can look for people who have heard the call. I want to be free. I want finally to be free. And you can help them to become free of their masks. How do you like this story? Do you know who was this last face? In Sanskrit, it has a name. It is called Ahankara. The eye maker. Yeah. Ahang means I and Kara means maker. Almost like a potter who can make many pots from clay, so the false ego can make so many masks. It's described when the soul leaves the kingdom of love or Krishna's kingdom and comes into the world. The first dress which the soul gets is a very subtle covering made of false ego. Then we are dressed in a body made of subtle matter, intelligence and mind. And then comes our gross body with the bones and the flesh and the skin and all. The last book which I have written is called The Art of Transformation. And it is about transforming this false ego. It is about cutting the ropes to material life, really. And in this book, I gave an analogy from the medieval times. To change a materialist into a spiritualist is almost an alchemistic process. In alchemica, they try to transform ordinary metal into gold by applying a certain formula to it. No one ever knows if the formula was really found or if it was just some esoteric speculation from China, where alchemistry started, and then from Europe. But the alchemists were not just hungry for gold. That was not their idea, to have a formula to produce a lot of gold and become rich. They wanted to find out what is necessary in order to make one substance into another. And they thought if they would find out that principle, they could apply it also in their lives to transform into very saintly persons. In Krishna consciousness, we don't know about this alchemistical formula. I heard the formula is to drink quicksilver and then urinate on copper and then copper turns into gold. But anyone who has tried it has died. My tip is, please don't try it. But in Krishna consciousness, we know what is the formula to change our character. How can we become free? How can we become happy, ecstatic, free persons? Who know their relationship with God, who are full of love. How can we leave the world of all these anxieties and the material life, huh? The formula is a mantra. As we are chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. If you do this with full attention, then by the power of this sound vibration, your whole life will start. I will tell you a secret. I cannot hide any longer. Even if I dress in a different cloth, everyone will know this is a Hare Krishna. I think it's good. The mantra has made some changes in the personality. Yes. This will happen to each one of us. If we apply the mantra, we will actually be transformed into a happy, self-realized person. There's only one other thing which is helpful. To stop making your body into a graveyard. You might say, what is this, making the body into a graveyard? I will tell you something which will interest you. Do you know that whenever you eat meat, you eat actually a dead body or part of a dead body? Did you ever think like this? The piece of meat was once a tailor. Many people don't know this. It's now a dead body. Hare Krishna. So this is not very helpful for spiritual enlightenment to have such eating habits. You might say, but Swamiji, it's not so important what we eat or what we put in the body, it's more important what comes out. I can eat whatever I want, but as long as I think the proper thoughts and speak the proper things, no problem. Vegetarianism is so unusual way of eating. I can understand this. I also was not born a vegetarian. I mean, actually, I was born a vegetarian. If you think very carefully, you will find out each one of us was a milk drinker, only milk, vegetarian. Yes. We are all born vegetarians, actually. If you think deeply about it. Yes. This is amazing. Sri Hari. Yes. So it is actually found out by science that our intestines are the intestines of a meat a vegetable eater, a vegetarian. Our organism is actually not meant to digest meat. Do you know this? When meat decomposes, it very quickly develops toxic or poisonous substances. Therefore, the intestines of a typical meat eater is very short, so that this highly active poison is immediately evacuated. But if you would take one end of my intestines and pull them out, you would be able to go to the street with it. It's such a long intestines. Like a cow. A vegetarian. I want to request you, please think about this. Please also think why in England those who are vegetarians don't have to pay so much health insurance. It's because vegetarians live longer and have a more healthy life in general. Cancer, the killer number one, is related to meat consumption. Anyway, you can start chanting the mantra even with your old eating habits. But you will see, as you become more advanced spiritually, that a vegetarian diet makes much more sense and is much cheaper. If you happen to come by in Split, there is a wonderful vegetarian restaurant called Makrovega. And today we have the honor to have the chief cook of Makrovega amongst us in person. His wife is also there. Would you mind to rise so that they can see you? Bravo. And you can ask him for more convincing arguments for the healthy lifestyle of vegetarianism. Yes. So, yes, I just wanted you to think about these things. But my main point is really about these two sides in us. That side will be victorious, whom you give the most amount of nourishment. If you give food to your soul, you will become very spiritually advanced. But if you neglect your soul entirely and only give food to your material side, you will become very materialistic and full of ever-increasing desires, which will not give you any peace. In one TV show, someone asked me, "What's wrong with material satisfaction?" And I asked, "Nothing if it would be possible." Show me one materially satisfied person, please. It's an illusion. It doesn't exist. It's like a flying microphone or a flying car. It's not there. Because the moment you have fulfilled one material desire, the material desires have multiplied and is twice as strong. You want Visha, more. But there is something like spiritual satisfaction. So please learn to start to feed your spiritual side. These are some thoughts which I wanted to present to you this evening. I want to thank you very much for your patient and kind listening. I don't consider myself a very important person whom everyone has to listen to. Like all the devotees, we just want to serve people in their spiritual advancement. It is our hope that you take something from this wonderful spiritual culture into your life. Yes. Thank you very, very much. Hvala lepa. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.